I seen Jason was on the schedule to help Robin with nursery today. Somehow he conned Christy into taking his spot. Good job, Jason. So if you need to know how to get out of nursery, talk to Jason. Amen. John 6 and 30, they said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? They wanted to see it before they believed it. What dost thou work? What kind of work are you doing? What kind of sign are you going to show us? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gaveth them bread from heaven to eat. That's a pretty cool sign. Every morning they got up, there was bread outside the tent door. That's pretty cool. Moses orchestrated that. So they're saying, what are you doing? What kind of sign are you going to give us? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Well, he just burst their bubble, didn't he? They thought Moses was doing that. He said, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That's good, ain't it? For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It's a good request. You eat that bread, you're not hungry anymore. Give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You can be seated if you want to. If you want to stand up, you can. Dr. Lance Watson tells a story about a man that went into a restaurant, and he went in and he ordered his lunch, and after he got done, he gave a very substantial tip, and he looked at the waitress, and he said, I do have one complaint. And she said, what's the complaint? He said, the complaint is this, you only gave me one piece of bread. And she said, okay, I'm very sorry. So he came back a few days later, and she recognized him, so she brought him two pieces of bread. After he ate his lunch, he said, you did really well. He left a substantial tip. He said, I just have one complaint. And she said, what's that? He said, you only gave me two pieces of bread. So she said, wow. So she seen him come in several days later. She said, I'm going to fix this. And so she brought him out a whole basket of bread. After he got done with his lunch, again, he tipped her very substantially. And he said, I just have one complaint. And she said, what's that? He said, you only gave me one basket of bread. So the owner of the restaurant gets kind of frustrated, and he said, we'll fix him. He comes here every 3 days. So they baked a loaf of bread, 6 feet long and about 3 feet wide. And so the man comes in, he sits down, he orders his lunch. They bring out the loaf of bread, and they set it down, and he said, oh, I see we're back to one piece again. I'll tell you something about bread. How many people love bread? How many people love bread? Raise your hand real high if you like bread. I mean, don't everybody like bread? Everybody like bread. I remember one time that I had a helper, and he was working with me at a house, and the owner of the house was an Italian man, and he started making bread. And he said, as he made the bread, the whole house just filled with the smell of fresh bread. Man, it smelled so good. And he asked us when we came down, he said, how's my house smell? And the guys with me said, it smells delicious. Your whole house smells delicious. He said, here, let me give you a piece of this bread. It was fresh bread, and he gave us a piece of bread. We got finished with the job. He decided, again, we smell the bread. We're like, this is our last day here. He's going to give us another piece of bread. But instead, he gave us each a loaf of bread, fresh-made bread. He said, man, I really appreciate the work you guys have done. And he looked at the guy that was helping me, and he said, do you have a girlfriend? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, listen, take this over to your girlfriend's house. Let me tell you how to work your girlfriend and get her to do any. And I said, hey. And the guy said, what? I said, he's dating my daughter. And he looked at me, and I said, if he shows up with a loaf of bread at my house, I'm going to knock him out. I said, then I'm coming after you. But man, that smell, I'll never forget that smell. A fresh made bread. Man, it was so awesome. Jesus decided to liken himself to bread. Now, bread is a staple. It's not seasonal. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or you're rich, you eat bread. Fruits are seasonal. Fruits are territorial. Sometimes they're in certain places that they're not in others. But bread, the richest of the rich eat bread. And even in prison, you get at least bread and water, right? So it's a staple. It's a staple. All over the world, people eat bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. They were excited about the fact that their fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They were excited about the fact. The problem with manna was this. Manna, after just a day, it wasn't any good anymore. But he said, I'm the living bread. What he's talking about is eternal matters. He's saying, when you eat of this bread, now we know this is metaphor. He's not talking about eating a bread and you're never hungry again. That would be the best bread ever. They wouldn't sell much of it, but it'd be the best bread ever. But he's talking about spiritual. He said, if you partake of me, you're never going to hunger after spiritual things again. Let me say it like this. When you find Jesus, you can stop looking for what you've been looking for. When you find him, that longing and that searching that you search, there is a hole in every one of our hearts that only God can fill. And we try to fill it with so many things, but nothing can give you satisfaction like the Creator can give you satisfaction. Once you find Jesus, you can stop looking. So the bread, this bread, he begins to identify himself as bread. The identity of Christ is extremely important. We must not know just what he did, but we must know who he is. Because we can't go by just his teachings, but we have to go by who he actually was. The Bible says he was the... Okay, Easter's coming, but he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. So Jesus had to be who he said he was, or nothing he said mattered. Now, even when the atheist signs a check and they fill out the date, they are writing 2024 in the year of our Lord. When Jesus showed up, he just didn't change the spiritual landscape. He changed everything so much that he reset the timeline. And despite what you may learn now that BCE means before the common era, I'm here to tell you it's BC before Christ, because after Christ, everything changed throughout eternity. He said, I'm bread. I'm bread. And because I'm bread, if you partake of this bread, you will never hunger again. I want to give you something doctrinal for just a minute so you can hang on. To you Bible students, I want to tell you there's doctrine in these scriptures that if you're not careful, you'll miss. Before you get the life, you have to believe. Faith comes before regeneration. You have to believe it before you receive it. They said, what sign are you going to do that we may see and then believe? That's the way it works in our economy. You got to see it to believe it. But in God's economy, you have to believe it to see it. Faith comes first. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. The first thing that moves in a Christian is faith. We must come by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is a doctrine that teaches that regeneration comes before faith. This is interesting. The reason this is interesting, Sam, is because I read of a man who they said was born again for 60 years before he realized it. Because he was regenerated, and then later he figured out and believed that he was born again, and it happened 60 years before. The problem was he didn't believe it. That doctrine doesn't line up with what we're reading right here, because he said, if you want the bread, you have to come to me first. So you have to come to him and you must believe first and then you partake of the bread. Are you following me? Let me say it like this. God calls you and he calls you because he loves you. But if you don't activate your faith in believing him, then it doesn't work. All right, let me say it another way. You can't just believe that there is a God and be saved. Can I say that again? You can't just believe that there's a God and be saved. Stand up, Jason. How many people believe that that is Jason O'Neill? Everybody knows him? That's Jason. I believe that is Jason. That doesn't mean that I believe Jason. Can I say that? Let me say it again. I believe that is Jason. That doesn't mean that I believe Jason. There's a difference between believing that there is a God and believing God. There's a difference in believing that there was a Jesus and believing Jesus. It's not enough just to believe that he existed, but you must believe him. When you come to him, the only way to get eternal life is you must believe that he is. You must believe not that he exists, but you must believe that he is exactly who he says he is. Abraham, the Bible doesn't say Abraham believed that there was a God. The Bible says Abraham believed God, period. Not that there was a God. He believed everything about God and everything God said. Oh, man. So you got to believe. To partake of this bread, you got to believe. You got to have faith. You got to have faith, faith. You got to believe. There has to be something activated in you so that you hold the word of God. And when you hold the word, let me say it again. There are some people that say that they believe in God, but there's no change in their life to come in alignment with what God says. That is not saving faith. But this faith and this bread, this kind of bread, is eternal bread. So I believe there is a God, and not only do I believe there's a God, I believe what he says. So when the apostle stands up and they say, sir, what must we do to be saved? There is an action that comes with your faith. The apostle said, repent. The first thing that I must do in my walk of faith is repent. What is repentance? Repentance is changing my mind. Repentance is turning away. Repentance is a change. It's the first thing that must take place. And if I believe God and if I believe his word, it will make me do things that I didn't do before. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me. What's that scripture say? And believe not. You've seen me, but you don't believe. The old mountain trader's out of business, ain't it? Didn't they close down? I know people that would just do that every week. Go through there and highlight stuff and never buy anything. Old people with their glasses just looking. One time we was at work one time and we're flipping through one. And I looked down and it was in the miscellaneous section. And it said, for sale, bobblehead Jesus for your dashboard. You know, y'all know what a bobblehead is, don't you? They was trying to sell that in an old mountain trader. You look through there and you look at cars and you look at motors and there's a little attachment in there if it's in really good shape. They say, must see to appreciate. Man, you really need to see this if you want to appreciate it. And that's not how God works. God says, you got to believe it and then I'm going to show it to you. We want to see God work, and then we're going to believe the works of God. But God says faith has to come first, because if you believe me, I'll show up and I'll do it. Amen. This bread that he's talking about. Acts 19 and 2. I want to show you this scripture. Acts 19 and 2. They ask him a question. They're preaching the gospel, and these people come to him, and they believe the word that is being preached. What is the word? The word is this. There's a holy God that created everything, right? But this God has some demands. They said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They believed, and they're asking, after they believed, did they receive the Spirit? Let me say it. Have you been regenerated since you believed? It's one thing to believe. It's another thing to have a nature change. Am I getting too deep right now? Because here's the problem. If God doesn't change you, then your faith isn't activated in the right thing. Because when you activate your faith in Jesus, he brings about a change. That change is a new nature. You become born again. Not reformed, not patched. You're born all over again. Old things are gone away. Behold, all things become new. That happens by and through the infilling of the Spirit of God. You got a new nature. You got a new spirit. You got a new walk. You got a new talk. You got a new movement. Everything about you becomes brand new because you've been filled with the Spirit. But you must first believe. Have you received since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We don't even know what that is. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of churches. I came prepared to preach today. I brought my hanky. There are churches that preach and never put any emphasis on being filled with the Spirit of God. And I know you've heard this before. Do you need the Spirit of God to go to heaven? Well, I need the Spirit of God to go to Walmart. You need the Spirit of God before you're ever called a Christian. You are not born again without the Spirit of God. There's an old nature that is taken away and a new nature that takes his place. How many people in here can co-sign this by saying, I've got a new nature. Once I was born again, I've got a new nature. There's a new hunger. There's a new thirst. There's a new walk. There's a new talk. God can even save a liberal Californian. Give me five, Christy. Yes, he can. That's how good God is. Man, I've had some talks with her. She said, I'm struggling with this. You know, I come from a liberal background. And I'm. But are you different now than you used to be? Who did that? I didn't do it for you, did I? I'm going to tell you who did it for you. He did it for you. Aaron's nice to you, but he didn't do it for you. Now you know what? She's got a hunger after truth. You know why? Because God gave her a new spirit. He took that old California spirit out of her and gave her a new spirit. Oh, let me preach to you. Anybody in here? He took that old nature out of you, that old time nature that you carried around and made you new. Some of y'all stand up and say, if God could save me, he could save anybody. I'm like, nah, Chrissy. Man, you get these thoughts and these patterns in your mind that are hard to get out. You've heard things and you've been taught things from a young age. And they're so hard to get out of you. Some people believe the weirdest stuff because somebody they trusted told them. I don't trust them people. We got to trust the Word of God. How many people in here trust me? Raise your hand if you trust me. Stop. Let me tell you who you better trust. You better trust Him. You better have a relationship with your Bible. I said, you better have a relationship with the Word of God because there should be a hunger in you. I'm kidding. You can trust me. I'm kidding. Y'all trust me. But I know some people that trust their preacher more than they do their Bible. Anybody ever heard of Jim? He had everybody drinking the Kool-Aid. Say everybody. He had everybody drinking it. Why? Because they didn't have a relationship with the Word of God. They had a relationship with their leader. But when you're born again, there's a hunger in you for truth. That truth is called bread. Do you know bread used to be currency? You used to be able to buy stuff with bread? That's why money is called dough. I mean, that's why it's called dough, people. Y'all are like, ha, ha, ha. No, for real. For real. That's real. That's why we call money bread. Go make some bread. Because you could use bread for currency. And even the prisoners got bread and water. Let me say it again. Even the prisoners got bread and water. So I don't care how bound you are, this bread and this water will set you free no matter what imprisons you. Because bread is life. I said bread is life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Metaphorically, we're talking about bread. The word of God will bring anybody to life. I don't care how bound up they really are. So let's move on. I got more scriptures. Yeah. Let's move toward the cross. I want to preach to you salvation real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I can give you a nice little sermon, and you can go home, and you can tell Caitlin, you can say, man, that's really good today, wasn't it? And she'll go, yeah, that's good. That was good. Where are we eating at? Then y'all go eat, and then the kids will start acting crazy, and then one of y'all's temper will go faster than the other one, and before you know it, y'all get home and y'all are fussing. After I just preached you an awesome sermon, you go home and fuss with your wife. Now listen to this. When God's bread gets a hold of us, it changes us. Right? It changes us. Everybody's like, nah, I'm still fussing with mine. A nice sermon don't do it. The bread of life changes our nature. Little by little, we should be conforming to the image of the Son of God. We should be looking more like Jesus as time goes by and we get closer to Him. Am I preaching to anybody? Was I right about that? No, not at all. Okay. By the way, look at the person beside you, and if they don't have on green, politely tell them it's St. Patrick's Day. That's all I was going to have you do. This bread. All right, come on back. I just said tell them it's St. Patrick's Day, and y'all carry on full-blown conversations. Stop that. They took Jesus, and He said, I'm the bread of life. You eat of me, you'll never hunger again. I'm living water. But then they take Jesus, and they put Him on a cross. And when they put Him on a cross, they put Him on there for a reason. That reason was to kill Him. This is the bread of life. If I'm a disciple of Jesus, I got an issue here. Because He's saying, you partake of what I got, you're never going to die. You're going to live forever. But now we got the bread of life on the cross, and the bread of life is dying. That becomes problematic for me. If I'm a follower of Jesus, the bread of life is now dying. The bread of life is giving up the ghost. But I learned something as a kid about bread. And I got to tell y'all this. I know some of you know it, but I got to tell you. How many people like cornbread? Maybe some of y'all didn't understand what I said. How many of y'all like cornbread? You know how you make cornbread? In an iron skillet. See, that's why some of y'all don't know. Some of you young girls are making cornmeal muffins or something and calling it cornbread. That ain't the same, is it? Oh, look, I made some cornbread. No, them look like muffins. No, you got to have a black iron skillet to make cornbread. And I don't know why it's like it, but you can't wash that thing. You wash a black iron skillet, some of you old ladies are laughing. Some of you ladies are like, huh, what in the world's going on in this sermon? My mom used to make cornbread in a black iron skillet. And when you put it in the oven, man, it gets hot. But you got to figure out if the bread is done or not. How do you do that when you don't have a temperature gauge? What do you do? You stick a toothpick in it. You've seen it made too, ain't you? Yeah. They open up the oven and they pull it out and they stick a toothpick in it. And they pull that toothpick back out. And here's how it works. If you put the toothpick in the bread and you pull it out and nothing follows the toothpick, guess what? Oh, y'all know. Y'all cornbread people, ain't you? If you pull it out and nothing follows, it's done. If you put something in the bread, something sharp in the bread, and you pull it out and something follows, what does that mean? That means it's not done yet. It's not finished yet. Jesus was the bread of life. He is hanging on a cross. He said, I'm the bread. Here comes the soldiers. Here's the way it worked. They would come around, and if the person who was being crucified hadn't died yet, they would take something and break their legs. The reason they would break their legs is because their legs was the only way they were living. They would crucify you in such a manner. It wasn't the nails through your hands that killed you. It wasn't the nail through your feet that killed you. It was asphyxiation. You would push up to get a breath, because your body would begin to stretch and become weak, and literally you would smother to death. So as they would push up, each push would become weaker and weaker. And to stop this exercise from taking place, the Roman soldiers would break their legs so they couldn't push up and get a breath anymore. But there's a problem. There's a problem with this Jesus, because there was a promise. Oh, this ain't coincidence, people. This is why I'm a Christian. Because when I read this Bible and these things come true, it changes my faith. This ain't a made-up story. This is for reals. John 19 and 36 says, for these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Let me take you to that scripture. That's Psalms chapter 34, verse 20, says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. The psalmist wrote that some 1,000 years before Jesus showed up, because God had a plan. And he said, I'm not going to let any of his bones be broken. But we know the way Roman crucifixion works. But when they came to Jesus, they presumed that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. No, they came up with another plan to find out and make sure he was surely dead. They took a spear and they pierced him in the side. The bread of life was now being poked. Oh, they took that sharp spear and they put it in his side. Here's how it works. If nothing follows, when they pull it out, the bread is done. But if they pull it out and something follows it, that means the bread ain't done. Jesus is hanging on the cross. Your Bible tells you that they put that spear in his side. And when they pulled it out, the Bible says, henceforth came blood and water. I'm here to tell you, the bread was not done. And the bread still isn't done. The bread is still saving. The bread is still healing. The bread is still moving. The bread is still touching. The bread is still picking up. Oh, that's my bread. My bread got up on the third day. The grave couldn't hold him. They thought they had him. Oh, come on, Aaron. This bread is living bread. Is this all right? We doing good today? Good. Good, Emma. All right. This bread was living bread. Here's how I know this, Brother Gary. Because I searched. I searched for something to fill that emptiness in my heart. I tried a lot of stuff. Nothing too crazy. They said, here, drink this. It'll help. It helped for a minute. You'd forget about it in a minute. But then you know what happens? You sober up. And everything that was there before is still there. Am I talking to anybody? They said, here, smoke this. We smoked that. Yeah, felt good for a little while. But then you know what happens? It's gone again. Look at y'all. Y'all looking down at me at your self-righteous noses like, oh, my goodness, what have that preacher done? I don't even want to tell you. It didn't help, but for just a moment. The problem was, Sam, I needed something that would last a little longer. Not just a month or a year. I needed something that would last through eternity. So I went to church because somebody asked me to go to church. I'd been to church when I was a kid. I went to church with my mom. I sat in church. I watched people shout, speak in tongues, run around. I did all that. I'd go to the altar, try to be a Christian. But man, one day I went and sat in a church and a preacher started saying stuff I had never heard before. He said, you can't live good enough to get to heaven. You can't walk straight enough to get to heaven. You can't do it on your own. You need God to get you through. You know what you need, he said? You need to be filled with the Spirit of God because you can't do this on your own. I said, amen. I don't know where this guy has been all my life, but he's preaching it right. Preacher's too loud. Baby's crying. Then I found out about this bread. I'd heard about him. I'd heard him sing about him. I'd heard him preach about him. I'd heard him talked about. Now we got commercials. We got stuff going on where Jesus is portrayed in so many different lights. But today I want to tell you how he identified himself. He said, I am the bread. Man, those words, I am, we don't have time to get into all that, but that's awesome. He looked at the disciples one day and said, who do men say that I am? That's different than what Jesus said he was. Because once I got this bread, my search ended. I'm not looking for peace anymore. I got the Prince of Peace. I'm not afraid to die anymore. I mean, if I died, I'd feel sorry for y'all. Y'all gonna miss me horrible. But what's that smirk about? You ain't gonna miss me? He said, a little bit. I'm not afraid to die anymore. You know why? Because I found the bread. Because if you can beat that bread, scourge that bread, put a crown of thorns on that bread, hang that bread to a cross, pierce that bread in the side, put that bread in a tomb, and it get up and start walking around, that's the kind of bread I want. So now that I got that bread, I don't care how deep you bury me, I'm coming out of there. You know why I'm coming out of there? Because it's eternal, living, true bread. Y'all hungry now? Man, I should have preached this and had cornbread on sale outside as a fundraiser. Butter, an extra dollar. Awesome about this bread, it's free. No fundraiser needed. You don't have to sell it. It's free. He said, I did all this so that you can partake and live forever. I did all this for you. All you got to do is believe it. Believe it. Receive it. Believe it. Receive it. Believe it. Receive it. Because if you believe it, oh, it'll change your life forever. Can somebody give me a witness? Sing a song because that's what we do. After after every sermon, we sing a song. Why y'all do that for, preacher? Because sometimes the preacher can't stop talking and they start playing. If I keep talking long enough, they'll start singing while I'm talking. No, no. Why do we do this? Because we want to give you an opportunity to respond to something that you've heard. If you've never partaken of this bread before, we want to give you a moment to partake of it. If you've never, or you have, and it's been a while, we want to give you a moment to step out. Oh, listen, it don't take a spiritual giant to figure out God's dealing with somebody's heart. It ain't mystical. God's dealing with somebody. Them preachers get on my nerves. Somebody in this congregation has a bad back. For real. This is Southern West Virginia. We all got bad backs. We're uneducated and we work hard. It hurts. You either got to be smart or strong, and most of us ain't smart. While I'm on, it's so good to see Sherry Doss here with us today. That's so good. You hear how they clap? If you answer the call of God right now, whatever you need, you step up here, we're going to clap for you. We're going to clap like crazy because we're rooting for you. Are you wayward? Are you a little out of line with God? You'd like to get back in line with God today? Step out. Walk up here. We're going to pray with you. Why? Prayer changes things. We're not praying to Bill Gates or Donald Trump or anybody. We're praying to the God of creation. He changes things. Step out. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? For the music to get right? You waiting on me to stop? Just step out. If God's dealing with you right now, step out. Step out. We're rooting for you. Will you be the first one that we clap for? We're going to clap like crazy. We're with you. You need to renew that. As they sing, would you come?